today on Real Radio.
As we look at this worldview series tonight about money, we need to understand something. Money is so low on the totem pole when it comes to importance, if we're true Christians, that it is something like anything else that we use as a tool to the glory of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In this lesson called Our Biblical Worldview and Money, ancient Greek society believed that if you could somehow appease the gods, then fortune, favor, and blessing would be all yours. These misguided and ultimately abusive practices in the name of religion have left the church fearful of what others might think if they even mention the word money, or let alone ask for it. Today, Pastor Jack teaches us that money in and of itself has no morals, but it is assigned morality by its user. Money is not evil, but the love of money is a danger that can cause the Christian to stray from the faith. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
In the first century era of the church, though the Roman Empire ruled the world, it was really the Greek influence that was still the molder and shaper of the culture wherever the Roman Empire was. And what molded and shaped the culture was so much of the Greek gods. They were very brilliant people, but they were very superstitious and very much given over to, listen to this, the appeasement of their gods. For example, if you never had been a farmer before, but you wanted to become a farmer now in anywhere of the Roman Empire, you would go to one of the temples and make an offering and become a follower of the gods that promised to bless your crops or bring rain. And if you appeased those gods, they were to respond back upon you blessings. Watch. Those blessings were in the form of favor, prosperity, wealth. If somebody was known to be wealthy, they would often say, the gods have been good to them. And that term, that statement, was one made in such a way that this worshiper of that god or gods has done such a great job that those gods have shown them favor. And so listen, as long as that guy is good with those gods are good with him. But if he didn't offer rightly, if he didn't worship rightly, if he somehow offended those Greek gods, oh boy, because they were capricious, that is, they were whimsical, they had varying temperaments in the view of the Greek mind. And you have to think like that when your gods are not real. You understand that? When your gods are not real, the God that you do worship or gods that you do worship is very capricious, very temperamental. You don't know if he's going to be happy today or sad today. You don't know if your God's going to be good to you today or he's going to be bad to you today. And so the worshipers of the Greek gods were very, very nervous all the time. And they would say things like, well, you know, if the gods will it, if the gods will. A lot of people today say, well, if God wills. And it's often used in the context of a capricious false worship system. You have been given the Bible, Christian. You have been given the promises of God, which are sure and firm, and you can approach them with a steadfast heart. You can look to the promises of God and know and be sure that the Lord is consistent. God is gracious and God is merciful. Yes. And he often withholds from us discipline or judgment. Yes. But we know this. He does say that there is a time for him that whenever that time comes, he sends warning, he sends rebuke, he sends correction. But then a time comes when if you're his child, he will discipline you. Correct? That's what the Bible says. He spanks his own kids. And then you see some people who just get away, as it were, with murder. And you think, well, nothing happens to them. Well, either God is being gracious to them or God doesn't know them. They don't know God. And so, though our God will discipline and will judge, he's anything but capricious or whimsical. Our God is predictable. How so? Because he has revealed himself in his Bible. As we look to this topic tonight in this worldview series about money, I want you to consider a few things. If you're a Christian tonight, you right now are hearing constantly as we are in what? Election season. This is an election year. And there is a convention going on right now. And there's going to be another one next week. What are you hearing constantly, and you have been hearing constantly, is this. It's all about the economy. That's what we're hearing. It's all about the economy. It's all about jobs. Now look, if you're a Christian tonight, you know that that's not true. It's not about jobs. It's not about the economy. The Christian knows this. If you're not a Christian, you're scratching your head saying, are you crazy? I'm unemployed. I don't have any money. I'm being taxed to death. It's all about jobs. It's all about income. No, listen, hear me when I say this. If you're not a Christian, then I understand why you would be focused on the issue of money and taxes and a change in the way that this government does things. I understand that. Now, don't get me wrong. We need a change in the way that the government is doing things. But as a Christian, money, taxes, policies, it's not the issue to what we're talking about. The issue as a Christian, for me, is God. We think that if we get our economy right, America will right itself and all will be well. Listen, we've crossed the Rubicon a long time ago. We've crossed that river. It's not the economy that's going to make all of our troubles go away. America has sinned. America has grieved the heart of God. America has cashed in, no pun intended, Yahweh God of the Bible for Mammon, the god of ancient Greece. Man, America, we worship money often more than God. And God, I believe, is trying to get our attention. Our economy can get better. Our economy could become the best in the world. It's no longer the issue. I'm telling you right now, the issue is the church repenting and seeking God's face. We need to turn from our wicked ways and cry out to God and say, God, forgive me. Our tendency is to point out our politicians. Now, granted, it is our job to pray, vote, and pray again. That's clear in Scripture. But this nation will either be blessed or not based upon the obedience of the Christian in America. And I know that sounds arrogant, but it's not arrogant. God says, if my people, if my people in any nation of the earth who are called by my name, will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, pray, seek my face, I will hear from heaven, and then, he says then, that's a time statement, then I will heal their land. And that's what we have to keep in mind. As we look at this worldview series tonight about money, we need to understand something. Money is so low on the totem pole when it comes to importance, if we're true Christians, that it is something like anything else that we use as a tool to the glory of God. And I got to tell you right now, quote, Christianity, close quote, has given itself a black eye in our world because of the mismanagement of money, because there are ministries and televangelists and all this kind of stuff who have been shysters and thieves and robbers, in my opinion, that have pillaged the people of God. And bad news, as Mark Twain says, bad news goes around the world twice before the truth ever gets its shoes on. And because that is a fact and the truth, the tragedy is people today, even in healthy church settings, when we hear the word money, we push back from it and we get embarrassed. And that's a sad thing. It's true, it's a fact, but it is sad. Would to God that the church would be known in the earth as being the most amazing stewards of resources that the world has ever seen. That's God's will for the people of God. So we want to be thinking about these things tonight as we consider this. And in my estimation, Satan is beating us in this issue of money. And he's made that word money a five-letter dirty word. And it shouldn't be. And of course, you know, before we dive into this, you know, the world can use money any way it wants to, right? We live in a time right now where if somebody's a pornographer and a billionaire, oh, look, he's successful. Nobody bats an eye at that. But then somebody might start a company. He happens to be a Christian. I don't know. God blesses him in his obedience. I'm thinking about companies like Walmart. I'm thinking about companies like In-N-Out Burger. I'm thinking about companies like, what are some Christian companies? Oh, my goodness. Sorry, Chick-fil-A. Where a man starts a business, where a woman starts a business in obedience, God is honored from day one. Interstate Battery is another one. Every morning in Interstate Battery at 8 a.m., there's a voluntary Bible study every morning at Interstate Battery. The founder's a Christian. He sends millions of dollars every year to Christian work. And Auntie Anne's Pretzels, Christian company, tremendous supporter of evangelistic work around the world. I could go on and on. God blesses, and then the world gets upset with them because they happen to be people of faith who are using God's resources that God has given to them. So there's a great disconnect. What are we supposed to do as Christians? Number one, we'll look at these things tonight of understanding and then of implementation. So here we go in our study, our biblical worldview and money. Mark it down. Number one, money and its dangers. Will you write that down? Money and its dangers. Very important. I wanted to start tonight's message with a song. Do you remember that song? I don't remember the song. I think it's like a Pink Floyd song. Money. Yeah, but how's it go? Anyway, you know, money, the song Money. And then the songs, because I looked at the lyrics today for the service. I mean, it's a corny song now. It's like 100 years old. But money, people will do any, I'm paraphrasing because I don't know it. But money, people will do the craziest things. They'll sell out their mother. They'll give up their bodies. They'll kill for money. Money. And in that, the rock and roller dude says, money should be used for good things. I mean, Pink Floyd. It is Pink Floyd, isn't it? Okay, Pink Floyd even knows that money should be used for good things. But it's used most often for bad things. But mark this down. Money is absolutely amoral. Write that down. It's amoral. Money has no morality. Money is assigned a morality by its user. And I need to write that down. I already wrote it down. It's in my notes. You need to write it down and put it in your notes because you and I have been given the power by God to apply amorality to money. Listen, the Bible does not say that money is evil. What does the Bible say? Very good. You want to teach it? Come on up. This is good. I'm happy to hear that. It's the love of money is the root to all kinds of evil. It's the love of it. Money is simply a tool that works in our culture. If you live in some poverty-stricken part of the world, money's not the issue. It's whoever's got the most bananas, whoever has the most coconuts, who's got the most donkeys. Whatever it is, it could be an object by which we impose or impart to it a morality. It can either be bad or good. Are you with me? Okay, keep that in mind. Here we go. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. 1 Timothy 6, 9. But those who desire to be rich, don't raise your hand, but do you desire to be rich? Well, they fall into temptation and a snare. The Bible states this as an absolute fact. You just sit quietly and ask yourself, is that true or false? And into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Simply meaning, before we keep reading, is that the love of money drives us to doing all kinds of things that we otherwise would never do. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. Does that happen? Is that happening? Do you know people who are giving up on God because they got an opportunity to make another buck or a bigger buck? That verse warns about it right there. And they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I know people like this. But you, O man of God, notice the contrast, verse 11, flee. That's where we get the English word, become a fugitive of these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. And the person tonight that would be saying, are you nuts? Are you saying that I'm supposed to pursue love and righteousness and peace instead of money? Pastor, wake up. And this is the great warning and the great danger of your estimation regarding your morality placed upon money. If you think that your purpose of for being created by God is to make money, you are going to die a very lonely and embittered person. It will never work. You can be the richest person in the world, and without God, you will die a lonely, bitter, I don't care how many people are around you, you will die empty. And it's not because you're rich, it's not because you're poor. It's because it is something God-given and not God-honored. And you can take a blessing of God and be completely devastated and brought to the brink of destruction because it's all about money. It's all about getting more. It's all about having more. In Proverbs 23, verse 5, the Bible says, listen to this, will you set your eyes on that which is not, or will you set your eyes on things that are not going to fulfill you? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. You know what? Every time someone plays the lottery and they scratch that thing or they do, or they rub whatever it is and they get that right down to the bottom, it's they put, what is $5 or a dollar down, boom, get the thing, scratch, and you can hear. Isn't that what happened? Oh, I'm going to get some money. Oh, man, maybe I'll get the lottery. Woo! Okay, scratch, scratch, scratch. Flies away. Gone. 2 Corinthians 9:6. I love this. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Watch out. We're talking about the about money and its dangers. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. I mean, that's a fact of everything and anything. You plant one seed in the ground, you're going to get a few plants. You plant more seed, you're going to get more plants. Watch how he puts this. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. That's the New Testament standard for tithing. You can forget about tithing. That's an Old Testament amount. New Testament is as you determine in your heart. Basically, it's this. It's how much do you appreciate what God has done for you? Then show him. Okay? Say, well, how much is that? Stop thinking like that. Weren't you glad today that it was only a 4.1? Be glad. Praise the Lord. Of course, we would have praised the Lord if it was an 8.2, but you thank him. Now watch this. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. Give. Oh, come on. When I met Lisa, we can keep the verse up on the screen. When I met Lisa, she had been born and raised in the church. She was tithing since she was 5 years old. She would get allowance. Her parents paid the kids. They had 9 kids. Lisa's the baby of 9. They had all get allowance. It wasn't much when you have 9 kids. You got to give little allowance. But her mom and dad's whole theory and point to give an allowance was to get the kids, and I think this is brilliant. You got to do this. Have your kids earn an allowance so that they can learn now early to give back to God what's rightfully his. And get them in that practice. Because why? Because it's the right thing to do. It's the God-ordained thing to do. Not when someone says, give. Oh, all right. No, not of necessity or grudgingly. The word is grumpy. Oh, man. Honey, can we get to church after they pass the plate? Because I don't want to look like a tightwad or something. And there's some people that give, you know, the plate goes by and they're like, oh, oh. Oh my goodness. That's just amazing. I would love to see God just say, hey, thanks, that's great, thanks. So, here's how much air I'm going to give you now. Can you imagine? Oh, man, God, a whole dollar, I don't know if I can do it. And then God goes, yeah, well, just let me deal with you like you deal with me. And wouldn't that be something? I mean, if I were God, I would do that. I would do that kind of stuff if I were God. He goes on, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in heart, not grudgingly or in necessity, for God loves, and the English word is hilarity. God loves a cheerful, hilarious giver. Can you imagine that? What a difference. What is the difference? Knowing God and understanding that money's simply his, and it's a tool he lets us use. We start sitting on it like it's an egg trying to hatch it. We nurse it. It's mine. It's not, it's never been yours. You fooled yourself. It's amazing. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. God will take care of you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Translation, put God first in your life, he'll take care of everything else. Here's the deal. Put God first in your life, he'll take care of everything else. And if we believe that, you watch what God does, and you know what? We won't be grumbling, complaining, and whining about things because our hearts will be in the right spot. When we are grumbling and complaining about stuff like this, we are basically saying, God, you're not providing for me. God, you're not taking care of me. When all he has promised humans is food and clothing, and he says, and with that, you should be content. Well, God obviously hasn't been to Madison Avenue. You see how we think? There's dangers to money because we make it so. Jeremiah 17:11 in the NIV version says this. Now listen to this. Boy, does this speak to our culture? Like a partridge that hatches eggs it did not lay. Think that one through for a minute. Okay, like a chicken. Forget it. A chicken. We don't have partridges around here. But think about a chicken walking up to a nest and saying, those are nice eggs. I think I'll sit on them and hatch them. Or I think I'll take them. I don't want to go through that birth process of that egg. I don't want to hatch that thing. So watch this. Like a partridge that hatches eggs it did not lay is the man who gains riches by unjust means. Or a man who gains riches not working for it. That's what it means. When his life is half gone, they will desert him, and in the end, he will prove to be a fool. That, I would have that stamped on every lottery ticket in the world. Why? Because 74% of people who win lotteries wind up being divorced, hooked on drugs, alcohol, or end their lives. The data is amazing as to people cannot handle money that's given to them without it being earned. Why? There's no appreciation. The danger of money.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Our Biblical Worldview and Money. Thanks for listening today. Pastor Jack wants you to be encouraged to be wise, prayerful, and worshipful about giving. Today's lesson was just one in our series called The Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues with a biblical lens, and will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, if you're looking for a more active, a more relevant, a more engaging faith, check out the Worldview Series. Now, today you can get the Worldview Series USB MP3 available for your gift of any amount to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a USB thumb drive that combines the entire Worldview Series of sermons by Pastor Jack on MP3. Get yours today at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.